Our beloved Constitution gave us 535 of these good folk. The Founding Fathers intended them to be representatives of we the people. In fact, today, these constitutionally appointed representatives have become our rulers, from representatives to rulers. There is the House of Representatives, all 435. Every 10 years, a census is taken, and the number of representatives from that state, that region of our country, changes as the population ebbs and flows. But the total number of representatives in Washington, D.C. remains the same, 435. Each of our wonderful states, with perhaps two exceptions, is represented in the Senate by two such representatives. The total number of United States senators is 100. These 535 people, supposedly elected, along with the President of the United States and the 9 Supreme Court justices, rule us. They rule us. One pundit has said that the key to being a successful politician and being elected is to be a good liar. And in an era of so-called post-truth, that goes well. I remember one individual asking me some time ago if I had ever met a politician who never lied, no matter the belief system, the morals, or the ultimate values. I realized, as I thought, that I never had. For in the world of politics, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth seems impossible. When first elected, new congresspersons and senators come to Washington, D.C., to our federal government, elected by us, determined to make a difference. They expect a certain political equality, the one senator equal to the other 9, and the one congressperson equal to the other 434. That's the way our founding fathers intended it. But then political reality sets in. They soon realize, these newbies do, that they are low man or low woman on the totem pole with a little voice or authority. They become party indoctrinated, subject in so many cases to the will and direction of the party leader and those who have been in tenure the longest. And they, the newbies, are expected to vote as they are told. They have to earn their political stripes through party loyalty before they have any chance at all of making a difference. So many potentially well-intentioned representatives and senators get lost in the shuffle, often becoming disillusioned, and have, soon enough, more than enough of power-hungry Washington, D.C. Home they go, never to return. There have been any number of congressional representatives elected for 2-year terms who have served that one term and never returned. Some have retired. Some have not been reelected. Some have even resigned in midstream. And the same with senators. Many have served 1 6-year term and no more. Some of those so retired have become influence peddlers, working for companies or other entities with business interests to influence politicians and legislation in Washington. Others have received lucrative jobs in business. Still others, lawyers, have been offered powerful positions in legal firms. Hardly any former congressperson or senator has not had a lucrative opportunity in the private sector when out of politics. That is not what the Founding Fathers intended. Those who wrote the world's greatest document, the United States Constitution, intended public service to be a privilege, an honor, an opportunity to serve we the people, with motives pure and with the best interest of our country first and foremost, not theirs. In fact, they intended, the fathers did, that our representatives would never profit or get financial gain as a result of their service. The reward to them for political service would be the pride felt as a result of honorable and trustworthy service rendered. They would always be citizens first and foremost, equal to and never different from or better than the average citizen, and that was especially so when they returned home. But how things have changed when our representatives became our rulers. They became entitled. They thought of themselves as different and better, and in so many ways unattached and even unconcerned at times with we the people. We, some 330 million of us, we live the way and the only way they wish and declare. We have to follow the rules and regulations they make. We really have no say. We elect them, and as a result of their promises or their false representations, and off they go to Washington to do their own thing. They don't look back until it's re-election time. Politics becomes a career instead of a short-term privilege. Political leaders count on re-election. They count on it, and consequently a permanent kind of power. And the longer the tenure, the longer elected and governing in Washington, D.C., the greater the power. Like Chuck Schumer, for example, Democratic senator from New York. Schumer has been in office 38 years. 38 years. Can you believe that? He is the Democratic, the minority leader in the Senate, with incredible power. And like Patrick Leahy, Democratic senator from Vermont, who has been in power 44 years. 44 years. Can you believe that? Or like Nancy Pelosi, Democrat and Speaker of the House from California, who has been in office 32 years. Elected 16 times, Pelosi has. And almost always without any real opposition. Or like Maxine Waters, Democrat from California, who has been in office 28 years. 28 years. And all of these four, and so many others, wield incredible political power as a result of these re-elections and have made easy transitions from representative to ruler. They virtually assume re-election, and politically, they really do what they want. Not what we want. As a result of that power entrenchment and any number of other examples, there now comes a movement, impeach Congress, enact term limits. Let me repeat that. Impeach Congress, enact term limits. It seems the only real answer, term limits. How about perhaps 6 terms for a congressperson, total 12 years, and 2 terms for a senator, total 12 years, and done, gone, out, go home, back to where you once belonged. We wouldn't care who you were, how smart you were, how politically savvy you were, what kind of country or world influence you might have. Go home. Enough is enough. Boy, I tell you, the more I think about these issues, my fellow Americans, the more frustrated and angry I get. Don't you feel the same way? This is not right. These 535 rulers really, bottom line, they really care first and foremost about themselves and not us. They think of themselves as different. They think of themselves as better, as elite, as rulers, wiser than we are. And no matter what they say, the vast majority really do not believe in democracy, not the way we do, nor do they trust the will and desires of the American people. They are determined to tell us what is right and how to live, and it's only going to get worse. The tragedy is that we let them. We let them. Why do we let them get away with this? I think for the most part it's because we the people are uninformed. We're often uneducated. We don't really understand the issues. And worst of all, we are indifferent. We won't step up. We won't work. We won't act. We let this happen. And the more it happens, the more democracy is extinguished. Millions, tens of millions of the American people should rise up, angry and indignant, and demand the fundamental changes required. This is our country, not theirs. We should indeed begin a movement to impeach Congress, impeach them. And we do that by enacting term limits. Oh, I wish with all my heart we could do that. Term limits are the answer. Congressional term limits are really the only sure answer, the only sure way. Ironically, we the people in our various states had no problem amending the Constitution to limit the number of terms a president could serve. Two, that's it. Two and gone. 8 years and out. Bye. Why not the same for Congress? Why not? But my fellow Americans, if we don't act now, there will be few, if any, representatives of we the people, but only rulers. It will be the end of our democracy sooner or later. Our republic, and most importantly, our freedoms. We cannot let that happen now or ever. Are you ready to do something? Founding Father Benjamin Franklin told us that he and his colleagues had given us a republic in the form of our beloved Constitution. But, said Franklin, only if you can keep it. Only if we, the people, can keep it, and we're doing a very poor job of that right now. We, my fellow Americans, are putting our entire future, our great country, and our Constitution at risk, including our democratic way of life and the freedoms we so readily enjoy and take for granted. We have become politically and civically immobile and indifferent, and day by day, away goes the way of life we take for granted. We better get on with the business of keeping it, the republic, keeping it, or the America we love will vanish. Don't let that happen for you, for your family, and for your children. Freedoms once lost are lost forever. We should get our rulers out of office and get them off the people's payroll.